This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
Well, it's good to be back with you. And if you're currently wondering who is the strange person preaching to me right now, I don't quite blame you. My name is Cameron Spohr, and I have the pleasure of serving as your curate for the next 2 years and also as your director of outreach. You might recall seeing me here the first Sunday in July, and if you don't remember seeing me since then, you're right. The pilgrimage to Malawi afforded us the opportunity to have some much-needed international dialogue with brothers and sisters elsewhere. It was good to be there, and right now it's good to be back serving as deacon and preacher. So with that said, let's get going. There's a scenario running through my mind that can take various forms. Let's call it the happy epilogue. A happy epilogue can happen when a couple comes home after a much-needed date night. Maybe the wine and steak were perfectly paired, perhaps an evening walk afterwards with delightful weather. They had so needed this time together. Their night is made. And when they get home, they're greeted with a babysitter who reports that the kids are tucked away and there are zero behavioral issues to report. Their night had already been made, but that news was a welcome cherry on top, wasn't it? A happy epilogue. A happy epilogue might occur when someone comes home after a long work day that included the culmination of a project months in the making, and wow, was it a success. Bosses are happy, numbers look great, maybe a promotion is mentioned. And when this hardworking person comes home, he or she is greeted with the warm smile of their spouse, some flowers at the table, perhaps, and their favorite movie ready to play on the television. What was already a great day just had another great memory added to it, a happy epilogue, something that occurs after the credits have rolled on a story. And if we're not careful, we might overlook the fact that today's gospel story has one of these very scenarios. A man went off to a wedding banquet, the main event of the night. But this gospel is not about that. This gospel is about that man's return home late after the fact, which means we're in the epilogue. The main event was off camera and off site. Thus, Jesus frames us as the babysitter, keeping the house in order while the parents are off having fun. Or, as you heard, Jesus frames us as the slaves, tasked with serving while the master is enjoying a banquet elsewhere. There's a lot to unpack there, but before we can even start, Jesus throws us a curveball. He has that returning master tend to those very slaves. This person had already had a full night. People probably expected him to go to bed. But here he is flipping expectations, serving those servants. So a happy epilogue, but maybe not in the way we expected, is it? Contrasting this is our Old Testament story from Isaiah that at first glance appears to condemn things such as extravagant banquets. He criticizes offerings, festivals, and incense. Oops. And there's a lot to unpack there, but before we can get to that, Isaiah pulls a surprise of his own. Most of his book is known for sweeping imagery, and this chapter is no exception, but he shifts right in the middle to a list of itemized commands. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Things that are important, but are also a clear change from the rest of his writings. It's almost as if the next book you picked up read like this. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood. And wash your hands, drive the speed limit, fact check the internet, and invest in low-risk mutual funds. Nowhere else in Isaiah will you see this long a list of direct commands, and yet here it is. So, two different readings, each with a clear bait and switch. What's going on here? A key insight comes near the beginning of the Isaiah passage, where God speaks of solemn assemblies with iniquity. Solemn assembly, so deep sacrificial devotion, but to iniquity, so to something less than satisfactory. Or perhaps more to the point, devotion to some things at the expense of others. The people needed a course correction. And what better way to do that than with Isaiah's literary surprise? Pull that abrupt interruption in style. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Cease evil. Learn good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. And plead for the widow. There it is. As far as Isaiah is concerned, there's the key focus. Imagine, if you will, if you invited someone to church. I know, who's this new guy talking about inviting folks to church? But imagine if you did with these words. Come to St. David's. You'll love it. The clergy vestments are clean and freshly pressed. Or, come to St. David's. You'll love it. We have the most fragrant incense and the best tasting coffee. Someone at the 8 o'clock said I should add on, we have the best tasting bacon in Austin. And someone, I won't say what group they were a part of, said we should also add, we have the best choir in Austin too. We probably like all of those things, and I have no reason to doubt any of them. But I think we're missing the mark if we're going to call coffee, or stoles, or any of these accoutrements the be-all, end-all. None of them are innately bad. Likewise, offerings, festivals, and incense weren't innately bad in Isaiah's time either. But to give those secondaries top billing is a misbalance of priorities, thus causing solemn assembly with the wrong thing. What's more desirable by God? Once more, wash ourselves, make ourselves clean, seek evil, learn good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. People had developed solemn assembly with iniquity. What God desires is solemn assemblies to service. And here we have an intersect between these two readings. Both call for a solemn assembly to service. Slaves diligently tending to a master's house through the night into the morning. The master tending to the slave, taking on the role of a servant. The people of Isaiah's time stirred to rescue the oppressed and seek justice. All of these are solemn assemblies to service. We likely all know people who are struggling one way or another. Some manners are obvious, but some aren't. Maybe their own date nights weren't enough to save that relationship. Or perhaps their own work stories didn't end with a job, let alone a promotion. I wonder if you yourself have walked a road or two like that before. And the credits have rolled, the story didn't end well, and a happy epilogue would be a much welcome change to the norm. Where might we find solemn assembly to service? Where can we find that remarkable babysitter, the diligent servant, or the serving master today? This past Tuesday, you might, like me, have seen lots of headlines about a sweeping enforcement across Mississippi that happened. Now, you're not going to believe this, but people have a lot of opinions about it. Some folks strongly support it, some strongly condemn, some strongly don't care. And a lot of people took to their social media vehicle of choice to express their own opinions and diatribes, adding to the cacophony of voices, lots of talking, uncertain about the listening. And as I scroll through my social media tools, the one person that stood out to me was a friend named Marie. She lives in Mississippi, but she's several time zones away this summer due to an internship. So like many, she watched news headlines from a distance. I suppose she could have shouted to the wind like many others were tempted to do. Marie did not do that. Instead, Marie posted the following. Mississippi friends, 680 people have been detained across our state today. many of whom have children, who will come home to an empty house with no idea what happened. This is not an invitation for debate about policy. This is a call to act in justice, mercy, and love to those impacted. I've contacted friends and local nonprofits in the field to learn action steps we can take to care for those impacted. I'll update this post as I receive answers. Please comment yourself with any concrete action steps you know of to help too. And then she adds this disclaimer, the sole purpose of this post is to provide avenues for ministering to those harmed. Any attempt to stir up debate or use of derogatory or dehumanizing language will be deleted. You're more than welcome to share your opinions on these tactics elsewhere, but this post isn't the place. And below that, she kept an updated bullet list of various action steps people could participate in. Marie recognized children who had become de facto orphans. And for a while, those children were the afterthoughts, the consequences of the main event. And she found a way to defend them, to invite others to defend them too, and thus to cultivate a solemn assembly to service. There are quite a few service ministries at this parish already, and I hope you've had the chance to at least learn of, if not join in, some of them. Trinity Center, Bedtime Story Brigade, Laundry Love, various ones that emerge on a need-based, ad hoc basis. And if you want to learn more, by the way, I invite you to come to our ministry fair here next Sunday in between services. As your new curate and thus the director of outreach, I'm officially giving you permission to overwhelm me with your ideas of service. Let's say we try to learn good, seek justice, defend the oppressed, care for widows, a solemn assembly to service, akin to slaves serving a master. Because when one person belongs to another, that's called slavery, but when a person belongs to Christ, that's called freedom. Serving Christ in his house, that is, in this world, serving even those on the marginalized post-credits of stories, just as Christ, our master, took the form of a servant as a show of love to us all. A solemn assembly to service, which is a solemn assembly to love. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.